Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to talk to you tonight. I'm not really going to preach and jump up and down or anything. I'm getting too old to jump up and down. But I just want to talk to you tonight. You know, life, sometimes life seems that it's unfair. Are you with me? And life seems that it's unfair sometimes. And there's times that, let's just be real honest with each other, we just don't understand why things happen the way that they do. And there's times, if we're real honest within ourselves, that we question God about things sometimes. And you've heard me say this before. I don't think it's wrong to have a conversation with God. Matter of fact, Job has a conversation with him for a year here in the book of Job. I don't think it's wrong to ask God things sometimes, but I do think that it's wrong to falsely accuse God and say, God, you're wrong in doing this, and get bitter and angry towards God. When we do that, then it does become sin. But to simply sit down with God, and I'm not bringing God to our level, and I'm not putting us on God's level, but God is approachable tonight. We can talk to God tonight, and God does talk to us tonight. Boy, I sure am thankful for that. And to sit down on your porch with a good cup of coffee and your Bible in your hand and have a conversation with God, there's nothing in the world wrong with that. You know, there's some times that we have those conversations with God, and we don't get the answers that we want. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I have. And we want answers from God immediately when things start going wrong in our life. And it's not if things go wrong, but it's when things go wrong. It's not if the valley comes, it's when the valley comes. It's not if the bad phone call comes, it's when the bad phone call comes. Because we're all gonna face troubles in our life. Matter of fact, Job said it this way, man that is born of woman is a few days in what? Full of troubles. Our life is full of troubles. Daddy said this one time, we're either in a valley, coming out of a valley, or fixing to go into a valley. That's just life tonight. That's just life. And you say, well, life is not fair. And sometimes we do feel that way. But one thing we've got to remember, and you don't have to turn with me here, but I want to read you a verse. Now, I'm coming to Job. You can just stay there. But one thing that we have to remember is what the prophet Isaiah told us in Isaiah 55. He said this in verse number 8. He's talking about God. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. He's saying that we don't think like he does, and our ways are not like his ways, and his ways are not like our ways, and his thoughts are not like our thoughts. And you know what? Every once in a while we make this statement, boy, I sure wish I could figure out what God was doing. Well, if we could figure out what God was doing, we could figure everything out about God, how big of a God would he really be? Are you with me tonight? How great of a God would he really be? And he is saying to us that his ways and his thoughts are not as ours. He said in verse number 9 of Isaiah 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So what is he saying? He's saying this, when I do things my way, it's a whole lot holier, if you want to say it that way, than you doing things the way that you are. And God has a will, God has a way, and God has a perfect way for us. God's never made a mistake. I said this morning in devotions at the sheriff's office. I said, the worst day of my life could be today. Are you with me? And it still could be today before the day's over. The worst storm that I've ever been through could be today. And if it is today, what we've got to understand is God is still God. You say, preacher, explain that. I can't explain that to you. But I know God's God. And I know God's right. And I know God's never made a mistake. And I know God's still holy no matter what we face. Matter of fact, let me read you another verse. Let me read you this. And I'm headed to Job, but listen to what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Listen to what the Bible said. Whenever you look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Bible said this. Let me just back up. Paul here, look what he says in verse number 7. He said, "Unless I should be exalted of a measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Paul said, this thorn in my flesh, he said, I prayed and asked God three different times, "Lord, would you take this away from me? God, would you take," can I just say it this way, "God, would you take this storm away from me? God, would you take this nightmare away from me? God, would you take this valley away from me?" Paul says, I'm praying, and you know what? Besides the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul probably had a greater impact on this world than anybody else ever has besides the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you study that Macedonia call. That's the reason we have the gospel in America today. Matter of fact, Paul says something that nobody else besides Jesus has ever said. And Paul says this, that he is innocent or he is free from every man's blood. In other words, what he is saying by that is this, every individual that I came in contact with after I saved, I told them about Jesus. I told them about God. Matter of fact, when you study Acts chapter number 27, 28, 29 out, him going to Melita and that great shipwreck that they had there, Paul didn't even have to go through that. He would have probably been set free in chapter 27, but he appealed to Caesar because he wanted to go to Rome so he could tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, if there's ever been a good Christian, if there's ever been a man that walked in accordance to the will of God, it was Paul. And if we want to look at it this way, if God was going to answer somebody's prayer and take a thorn out of their flesh, it would have been Paul. And Paul says, I besought the Lord three different times and asked God to take this away from me. But God wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. And can I tell you something? Sometimes God leaves us in the midst of our storm because God's trying to teach us something in that storm. And God may leave us in that storm till we learn the lesson that He's trying to teach us. You remember what Dorsey said preaching here one time, and I don't mean that disrespectful, Brother Dorsey. Here's what he said. He said, you may never get out of your storm until you learn to praise God in your storm. It's easy to praise God everywhere else, but we've got to learn to praise God when everything's not going right. We got to learn to praise God when the phone calls are not going right. We got to learn to praise God when everything in the family's not going right. We got to learn to praise God when the sun's not shining. We got to learn to praise God when the storm clouds roll in and they settle in and it rains days upon days and months upon months and in the life of Job for 12 months a year. And what Brother Dorsey was saying is, we've got to learn to praise God in spite of our circumstances. Our circumstances should not determine our praise to God and our thankfulness to God. And Paul said, man, I asked God, take this away from me. God wouldn't do it, but look what he said in verse number 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and I'm headed to Job, but here's what he said. And he said unto me, this is talking about the Lord, he said, I asked him, God, would you take this away from me? And here's what he said. The Lord thrice that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I've come to the conclusion, if God's not going to take me out of my storm, that I'm going to praise God in my storm because it's in my weakness that I can glorify Him the most. And can I say something to you tonight? It's in your storm that you can be the greatest example. And Paul says, you know what? I'm just going to decide to live in my storm. And he does from here on out. That thorn in his flesh has never departed. He has it the rest of his life. But you know what he done? He praised God anyway. He stayed faithful to God anyway. He lived in the center of God's will anyway. Here's what happens when the storm hits our life. Initially, we run to God. Are you with me? Initially, we run to God because we're praying, asking God to help us in the midst of our storm. If tragedy was to hit our homes tonight, initially, we would be praying, God, would you help my family member? God, would you help them to make it through this? God, would you touch them? If one of us was involved in a major accident tonight, and boy, I sure hope it doesn't happen, but if we are, the call all's going to go out, and we're going to begin praying. God, would you touch brother such and such that's in that accident? If it's your family member, God, would you touch them? But then when God don't answer our prayer the way we want God to answer our prayer, all of a sudden, we turn on God. And I understand emotions. I understand different things that we go through. But we turn on God, and this anger sets in towards God. Time out just a minute. God's still God. And who are we to judge the actions of God? Who are we to question? Well, I guess I'm preaching to me as much as anybody tonight. Who are we to question the actions of God? Who are we to question God's way? You say, preacher, I don't understand. It's not for us to understand. Over 200 questions in 42 chapters in the book of Job, and the majority of them is Job. Job knows no more about his storm at the end of the chapter than he does at the beginning of the chapter. But you know what he done? He stayed faithful to God. He stayed faithful to God. So it's not if storms come in our life, but when storms come in our life, we are going to face bad days. We get this false assumption in our mind, and I know I'm being repetitive over things I've said in the past, but man, God knows my heart. I'm just trying to obey Him tonight. We get this assumption tonight that because we're going to church, because we're living for God, because we're trying our best to do what's right, that everything's always going to be okay. Can I just say something to you? The closer I get to God, the more I try to serve God, the more I read my Bible, the more I pray, the more the devil fights me. And sometimes it seems the bigger the storms that come in my life is during those times. But you know what? We've got to determine tonight. I'm not going to back up from serving Him. I'm not going to let the devil and allow the devil to slide in and cause me to question God and get angry at God and bitter towards God. Hear me and hear me well. His grace is sufficient for whatever need we have in our life. If we'll just turn to Him, His grace is sufficient. How many times do we try to figure it out on our own? You know, I'll never forget, and you've heard me say this, but I'll never forget years ago, the girls was little. And it seems like yesterday, and man, it was years ago, Brother Brian, but years ago they was little. And Miss Leslie said, I'm buying them a kitchen for Christmas. And I said, okay, it sounds great. Of course, I told the girls that I found it and I picked it out and I bought it and Mom didn't have nothing to do with it. But anyway, I'll never forget that Christmas Eve night. Leslie said, we need to put this kitchen together. And I said, all right. So I just went to throwing it together. Somebody say amen. It's a kitchen. How hard can it be? I went to putting it together, and after about an hour, and Miss Leslie saying several different times, you know, honey, there's a book right here that talks about where each piece of that. Don't talk to me right now. I'm busy. I don't need that book. Are you with me? That some guy that's never put one of these together sat somewhere and drawed the book out and sent it to me to tell me how to do it. I'll do it. Some of you men say amen. I know you've been at the same place. And after about an hour, she said, honey, don't tell me nothing about the book. After about an hour and a half, and she had went somewhere else, Yeah, you know what a dumbbell was staying. I pulled it out from underneath everything, and I'd look at it a minute, and then I'd slide it back underneath there so she wouldn't know that I was really looking at it and thought, well, he really has figured all this out. You know what? In our life, when everything gets to go in the wrong direction, instead of us trying to figure it out, instead of us trying to fix it, you know what the best thing we can do is we can pick up the directions for our life, and we can go to this book right here, and it's got everything that we need in it. Job in chapter number 23, he's in a pursuit of God. He's trying to find God. I got to hurry, but he's trying to find God. He's wanting to know where God's at. He's saying, God, I wish I knew where you're at. He said in verse number 3, Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I would come even to see. I would order my cause before him, and I would fill my mouth with argument. Before you judge, Job, let's be real honest. We've all been there. We can sit back and say, well, you know, preacher, I've never questioned God, and when everything's going wrong in my life, I've just always submitted to God and never. Well, God bless you. Will you sign my Bible when I get done preaching tonight? There's not but just one or two signatures in it just to tell you how picky I am about who signs it, okay? I'm going to tell you something. We've all been there. Boy, if I could get a hold of God, there's some things that I'd like to say to God. I'm not talking about in an arrogant sense. But Job said, man, I would fill my mouth with arguments. And look what he says. He said, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. Well, what about that? He said, if I could just find him, if I could just get to where God was at, I know what he would do. Man, he would help me if I could just get to where he was at. If you've never been to this place in your Christian life, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's coming. There will be days when we try to pray and it seems that our prayers never even make it past the roof of our mouth, any less to the top of the ceiling. There'll be times that we pick up the Word of God and try to read it, and it will seem that it's nothing more than a printed page. But can I tell you something tonight? If you'll just stay right there, if you'll just keep praying, if you'll just keep seeking God, I sure am glad that he said this, ask and it shall be given, to seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. If we'll continue seeking him, he said, draw nigh to me. I said I wasn't going to preach tonight. Boy, I feel like preaching a minute. He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. If we'll keep seeking him, if we're drawing nigh to him and he's drawing nigh to us, guess what's fixing to happen? Somewhere along the way, we're going to run head on into each other and we're going to have a conversation. He said, I know what he would do. He would put strength in me. He said, if I could find him, I know he would help me. He said, verse number 7, there the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. And he said in verse number 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. You know what he says? He says this, I've been all the way around me and God's nowhere around, it seems. I've looked for him in front of him. I've looked for him behind me. I've looked for him on my left and on my right. I've been all the way around me and it seems that God is nowhere around. But here's what we do when it seems that everything's going wrong. Look what he said in verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. You said, preacher, what did I do? If you've wrote in your Bible, it's wrote down. Maybe we just need to be reminded of it tonight. Here's what we do. We remember the omnipresence of God. He knows where we're at. Even though we may, hey, hear me and hear me well. I'd rather say I don't know where he's at than him say he don't know where I'm at. There's never been a time since June the 27th, 1978 until this present moment that God didn't know where I was. was at, that God didn't know every hair that was upon my head, that God didn't know everything about me. Yes, there will be days that it's hard. Yes, there will be troubles that come in our life. Yes, there will be times that it seems that we can't hear from God. Well, but aren't you thankful that God knows exactly where we're at? God knows exactly what we're going through. God knows exactly the storm that we're in. God has never lost anybody. God never will lose anybody. And thank God, standing somewhere in the shadows, when you least expect it, He'll show up and He'll help you. You just need to remember, He knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. You know what? The disciples was out on a boat. The boat was nothing uncommon to them. The boat was nothing unfamiliar to them. The water was nothing unfamiliar to them. The way that they was traveling was not unknown to them. They was fishermen. They had been that way before. And Jesus said, go to the other side and I'll meet you on the other side. And in the midst of the worst storm of their life, when they thought they was going down for the last time, guess who shows up right in the middle of all of it? Jesus shows up right in the middle of all of it. Why? Because He had departed upon a mountain to pray for them. And when you study the geographical location of it, more than likely Jesus could see them the whole time. There will be times when it seems that we can't see Him, but I sure am glad He's never lost sight of me. He's never lost the visual of me. He knows where I'm at. You got to remember, He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time, and at the same time, He's everywhere. Watch this, and I'm going to move quick. Remember the omnipresence of God. Number two, what do you do? Here's what you do. He said this. He said, but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You realize the outcome of the trial. What did He say? He said, I shall come forth as gold. What is the whole meaning of the trial? Here's the meaning of the trial: to draw us closer to Christ. We may not understand the outcome and why the outcome has to be that way on a fleshly sense, but on a spiritual sense, every storm of our life is there to draw us closer to Him and make us closer to Him. Realize the outcome of this thing. The outcome of it is this: we're going to come through it. We're going to make it. What did Job say? He said this. He said, all the appointed days of my life will I wait until my change comes. What Job was saying was simply this: whether it's here or whether it's over there, all the appointed days of my life will I wait, because I know there is a change that's coming one day. What is the outcome of this trial? This life is a trial. This life is a valley. This life is hard. But what's the outcome of this? Here's the outcome of this. One day we'll walk through our last valley. One day we'll visit our last hospital. One day we'll go to the hospice house for the last time. One day we'll do the last death notification. One day we'll visit Moody's for the last time. And thank God, the Lord will come back and we will rise with Him if we are saved. And the outcome of this thing is this: we'll behold Him face to face. We'll see He who died for us. We'll lay eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This life is not it. If in this life only I had hope, I'd be of all men most miserable. But thank God, this ain't it, honey. This ain't the end of the story. I've read the back of the book. I've read the last chapter. And the Lord Himself shall ascend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ, that's us, shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's hope beyond this life. That's what it is. That's the end of this thing. Until He comes, we're going to face hard days. But I got real good news. He's coming. This ain't it, thank God. Well, watch this. Preacher, what'd I do? Well, you just remember the omnipresence of God. You realize the outcome of this trial. Then I say this. What did he say in verse number 11? My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You say, preacher, what do I do? It's simple. Here's what you do. Number three, you remain obedient to the Word of God. You remain obedient to the Word of God. What did he say? He said, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, I'm going to tell you what you do. You find yourself in this book right here, and you remain obedient to what the Word of God says. When things go wrong, we don't need to run from church. We need to run to church. When things go wrong, we don't need to run from God. We need to run to God. In every bit of it, we need to stay faithful to Him. You need to remain obedient to the Word of God. Madeline, will you come start playing softly? Trials is going to come. Hardship's going to come tonight, church. I don't know why the Lord's got me here tonight. I'm telling you, I wanted to go to Judges tonight, but he put me here for a reason. I don't know what it is, but he did. There's escaping the hardships and escaping the trials. It's not going to happen. You can quit church and walk away from God, and the only difference in hardships then is you're not going to have somebody to help you. And if it's a church like it's supposed to be, you're not going to have somebody to go through the storm with you. That's the only difference. Trials is going to come. Hardship's going to come. There's no way around that. There's no way around that. You know, I dread the day. And if the Lord doesn't come back and I don't go out of here before my parents do, the day will come, Brother Kevin, that I'm going to have to walk down that road. I talk to my mom and daddy every day of my life. I talk to them every day. Matter of fact, about 10 o'clock the other morning, I hadn't heard from them, and I hadn't called them yet. And I called Daddy, and he answered. And I said, well, Brother Bob could have done come got me. You wouldn't know nothing about it. He said, well, Bob would have called me. You that don't know who I'm talking about is Brother Bob Moody of Moody Funeral Services. He said, well, old Bob would have called me. I said, well, I hope he would have. I said, you sure ain't going to check on nobody today. He said, well, how many times have I called you and said Brother David could have called you by now and you wouldn't have known nothing about it? We'd go back and forth about Gentry Family Funeral Services in Yadkinville and Moody Funeral Services in Mount Airy. And I told him, I said, man, don't you let Gentry touch me. I want somebody that knows what they're doing taking care of me. We'd go back and forth. I know this is kind of crude humor, but whenever I go to Gentry's, I always take a Moody's pen or a Moody's calendar, and I give it to them. And I say, hey, guys, I want y'all to have something good here. But the day will come. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. The day will come that I'll have to stand over my daddy's home that he lived in, his tabernacle, his body, his soul will be gone. And I'll have to say some words about my daddy. And you say, do you think you can do that? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How could I not do it? How could I not do it? And my mom the same way. Boy, I dread that day. I dread that day. I don't even like to talk about it. I only like to think about it. But that day will come. Same thing with Leslie's mom and daddy. But no matter what the storm is, we're going to face it. We can't get around it, okay? It's just life, man. It's just life. Can I say it's just life? It's sin. Every death, listen to what I'm going to say to you. Every death is a product of sin. Every death. It goes back to Genesis chapter 3. If Adam and Eve hadn't messed up in the garden, they'd still be here today. Are you with me? For the wages of sin is death. We're all going to face it. We're all going to face hardships. We're all going to face trials. But I'm glad that we can remember that He knows where we're at. And I'm glad that we can realize that this life is not all there is to it. And I'm glad that we can remain obedient to what He says do in the midst of the greatest storms of our life.